Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 84. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and taking this week off as my co-host, David Todd. That means sitting in for him is Alex Kozora on this Monday. Alex, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Dave. And Steelers Nation, we promise we won't read the envelope wrong today. Dave, I'm guessing you didn't watch the Oscars, but maybe you get the reference still. I didn't either.
I get the reference only because it's all over Twitter this morning.
me too.
Man, I posted this on Twitter last night. Why do I want to watch a show about movies I haven't watched?
Same here. Yeah, you know? I didn't watch it, but my buddy called me and was like, dude, are you watching the Oscars? And I'm like, no. I'm not watching the Oscars.
It takes all I can do. I try to watch the Grammys every year, you know, because I'm a big music fan, you know. But even, you know, half that stuff that's on the I don't know about today's music, you know,
really?
At all. You know, I was excited that Metallica, was performed and all like that. But that was I'm so out of touch in non-sports related, Alex. I mean, the building next door to me could be burning down and I wouldn't probably even know it. I mean, I stay locked inside a tiny little box for the most part. And I like it that way. The less distractions, the better for me. Did we get some, I kind of referenced this, it must have felt like what kids feel like when they get a pony for Christmas. and of course I'm talking about the Steelers being awarded a third round compensatory draft pick for the 2017 NFL draft. What was that, on Thursday or Friday? And I was shocked. You know, I think I had it calculated as a fifth round pick coming to the Steelers. I think so did, you know, a few other sites around the net as well too. So for them to get a third round selection, which I believe is 105th overall, it really did. It felt like Christmas. It was quite a shocker.
Absolutely. I can't figure out the comp formula, and I just don't understand exactly how the Steelers get a third out of what they did. But, you know, I wrote about it. I tweeted about it. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen it at this point. But just kudos to Kevin Colbert for owning the draft so far. If you can own the comp process, the Steelers, you know, basically they get the third rounder for the loss of Kelvin Beachum and Steve McLennan. Those are the two biggest names. And, of course, the Steelers have replaced Beachum with Villanueva, who arguably is going to be a better player and might be a better player right now, and you're going to have him long-term. And then they replace McClendon with Javon Hargrave, who arguably is going to be a better player or is a better player right now, and they're going to have him for the long-term. And they still get a third-round pick. They still get they still go out and sign on Darius Green. Doesn't affect it enough. So that's a slam dunk for Kevin Colbert.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still trying to figure out, you know, it's going to take a lot of people over the years have come close to thinking that that they cracked the formula. You see several people try to predict picks for every team around the NFL, and I think before people have hit them before, and then other times people, you know, miss one or two of them. I pretty much guarantee I don't think there was anybody that hit them all this year. And you know, because the formula is based on salary, playing time, and postseason honors, and you know, the only 32 are awarded every year. I have a feeling that something to do, as much as Steeler fans hated Antoine Blake and a few of them hated, weren't big fans of Sean Spence, I think that their playing time may have had in Tennessee may have had something to do with this thing creeping up from a fifth to a third round pick. I'm just guessing. We're never going to know on this, but both those players, you know, saw considerable amount of playing time in Tennessee along with starts, you know, as well. So I wonder if that had something to do with it.
Yeah, it definitely could. Do you know the snap count? Because I didn't realize they had played that much. I can look it up here in a second if
Yeah,
you need me to.
I don't have him. I don't have him right here in front of me. But Blake, how many games did Blake end up starting for the Titans this past year? I know Sean
Yeah, I don't
Spence
know.
had to start quite a few. Let's see, Blake played in 16, but only started one. But
Yeah.
I know he had a pretty decent snap count
Let me look it up here.
from what I know. And Sean Spence, I think Spence started quite a few games. You know, not that starts have anything to do with
Yeah,
it.
I have the snap count here. Defensively, Sean Spence, 505 snaps. Antoine Blake, 364. So, yeah, it's a healthy number for those guys.
Yeah, it really is. Now, both of them, their contracts weren't really, they were above minimum. And maybe that helped out in a scenario as well too. And but I thought with the Steelers signing Ryan Harris, I thought that might cancel out. And of course,
Right.
Ladarius Green. A lot of people thought, yeah, maybe Ladarius Green and his lack of playing time had something to do with it. You know,
Right, same with Harris, yeah,
you
getting
know,
hurt.
with those two and the lack of their playing time, when it goes to canceling out, what happened. With Kelvin Beecham. So look, we'll go crazy sitting here trying to reverse engineer this thing on a Monday. But the key thing is the Steelers did get a third round pick, and I wonder if it'd be funny if somebody asked Kevin Colbert at the combine on Wednesday when he speaks if he expected the team to get a third round pick.
That'd be a good question. I do wonder, yeah, does Omar Khan or whoever the assistant's name, Samir or whatever his name is that I'm forgetting right now. I wonder if they do those things and try to anticipate, and that might affect their moves. Because I remember, at the very least, Colbert said, I think back during the draft last year, that they expecting getting comp picks for this year, and obviously that was a long time ago to try to figure out what they would have this year. But they certainly expected to get comp picks and they certainly did. And now this gives this team so much more flexibility and, have that third round pick to play around with. And they could go in a lot of different directions. They can address all their needs, in the top 105 picks. And I think I looked it up, and this is only going to be the third time under Colbert the Steelers have four picks in the top 105.
And then the last time I think was, and I wrote this up the other day, I think it was what, 2009, right?
Yep,
And
2009, 2000.
that was a result of them trading out of, was it trading down in the, they made a trade with Denver.
Yeah, they traded out of the second, I believe.
Right, I think they traded out of the second that year, and then picked up a third in that round. I wrote it up the other day, and already I can't remember what the details. But that was the same draft that they got what Mike Wallace and Craig Urbick in the third, right?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
And but. Yeah, that was a result of the trade. When was the last time before 2009? 2000.
2000, Colbert's first year they had it.
Oh, wow. And
I, yeah.
they also traded down that year, didn't they, or no, in the first round?
I was a youngin' back in 2000, Dave. You remember better than I do.
I'm trying to remember
I'll pull it up here for you.
if he did it or not as well too. But going now that you know this. As far as it getting a third round pick, has it in any way changed your overall kind of thoughts of the first three rounds?
Not entirely,
And
but
I guess the better question is, what was the first thing that came to your mind when you saw that they were issued a third round compensatory pick, other than they made a mistake?
Right. One, I thought there was an Oscars misread envelope there. Two was shock and glee. And then three was just, you're going to have so much more flexibility now that you can address all your top needs within that top 105 picks. And now you probably, or at least you might not have to decide between a tight end or a running back or a double dipping an outside linebacker. I think that gives you that third pick might give you a great chance to double dip somewhere, whether that is an edge, whether that is a cornerback, that would make a lot of sense. So I think it's just going to give you that flexibility. You might get to play around with those picks and be able to take a flyer on somebody you might not normally take. knowing you have the extra pick to spend. And, of course, now comp picks are tradable this year. So it gives you another kind of big chip in the holster to be able to move around, you know, should something come up.
2000, they did not trade down. I was thinking of 2001. That was the year that, let's see, the Jets acquired the Steelers' 16th overall pick that year in exchange for the Jets' 19th in the first round. And a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. That was the draft that I was thinking of. So not 2000 was the one.
Okay.
I think my mind immediately went, oh, crap, are they going to draft a quarterback now?
Yeah, there was some worry there.
with perhaps that third-round pick that they got. Look, is it possible? Is it possible that they draft a quarterback with that pick?
Right. I think it's in the realm of possibility. It's right around where, let's say, a Brad Kaya or a Nathan Peterman or maybe a Davis Webb, if he improves his stock a little bit, could end up. I think we are both opposed to it. I read your comments in the mock draft. You know, we're hoping that they don't. But, again, when you have that flexibility, they could draft somebody like a Jake Butt, you know, that could go on IR for a year because they get the pick and the value and they still get their regular third-round pick. They could go a quarterback. They could go some sort of high flyer, kind of bit of a risk type guy. I don't know how they're going to approach it, but, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Would you expect them to double dip somewhere?
I think they will. I don't know where. I think the only two options are outside linebacker or cornerback, but I think they really have a good chance to double dip at outside linebacker at some point. I mean, it could end up being first and seventh for all we know, but just given how deep this edge class is, it's one of the better edge classes to come along in, I don't know, probably the last 10 years or so. I think, and given the need, I think it'd be stupid not to double dip at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for as well, too. I guess now is a perfect time to kind of any other news that we missed that we should wrap up that happened last week? I mean, the comp pick was the big news last week, right? I mean,
Yeah, that was number one. Nothing really else coming up. No signings. We covered most of the future guys last time. We'll touch on them throughout the year or throughout the offseason. Ravens, Matt Elam got in trouble with a bunch of pot and some other drugs, but that's not
that was a bunch. That's a bunch of pot. That's a quarter pound.
Is it? I don't know. I just read the number. It looked like a lot to me. You would know better.
Yeah, thanks. Let's see. The Steelers have a couple more days to decide on what they're going to do with Le'Veon Bell and his franchise tag. That's obviously going to happen here any time now. It'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs decide to do with a guy like Eric Berry, I think, who does not want the franchise tag. Are they going to let a guy like Dontari Poe hit the market instead of maybe putting a franchise tag on him as well? So, yeah, I think we're going to definitely be busy over the next couple of days. Of course, Kevin Colbert will speak at the Combine on Wednesday. He won't be batting leadoff this year. It looks like he's set to bat seventh in the order. And as usual, we'll be recapping everything on the site that he says. Normally, all the GM front office personnel, after they get through with their 15 minutes on the podium at the Combine, they normally over the years have jumped immediately on Sirius XM satellite radio. And I, of course, listened to that as well, too. So anything that maybe Colbert might say on the radio that he doesn't handle during his trip on the podium, I'll make sure to recap for everyone on the site as well, too.
Remind me, Dave, what's the date on Bell for the franchise tag? What's the deadline?
The deadline is March the 1st.
March 1st. Okay, right. So two days.
Right. Today's the 27th. Of course, only 28 days in this month there. And, you know, this thing's going to – we're going to start getting – real, I guess, semi-busy real quick here because we have Colbert speaking at the Combine on Wednesday. The franchise tag is due on Wednesday. Of course, heights and weights will start rolling in after that, and then the Combine performances over the weekend on into early portion of next week. And then, oh, yeah, Thursday the 9th is the start of the new league year and free agency. So really kind of I think this first kind of dead area of the offseason to me has kind of gone kind of quickly. And, you know, we're going to get into free agency here. So the next couple of weeks, of course, will keep us busy. And then, you know, there'll be a little bit of a lull, I guess. But, you know, we'll have pro days to keep us busy and pre-draft visits. So I think the worst of what we have to go through outside of the backside of the wait between the OTAs and the start of training camp is behind us for now. Alex, we got. I'm gonna let this get away from me. I'm gonna forget to hit Craig's ad here, folks. Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. Craig is a lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native. He's also a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551. NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Both of us have released latest versions of our mock drafts. For me, it was version 1.0. For you, it was version 2.0. I obviously was behind the eight ball because of, have to cover the Steelers all the way through the playoffs, and they had a deep run that set me a little bit behind as far as some evaluations on some players that I wanted to get done. I think I surprised a few people, maybe not so much. I wanted to see what kind of pushback I would get if I took two edge rushers back-to-back in the first two rounds, and that's exactly what I did with Carl Lawson and Derek Rivers. Lawson, boy, the more you watch him and the more you read about him and read about, you know, kind of what he is, on the field as a captain, what he is off the field as far as a team leader, the stuff that he's gone through, he certainly does check a lot of boxes when it comes to him potentially being a Steelers first-round pick. And really the only questions, I think, are his medicals right now, right?
That's the biggest thing. There's probably some more minor things. Some people do wonder how much bend he has. You know, I noticed some issues and just inconsistency against the run, which is more of a technique thing than anything else. But, yeah, I'm all on board with the Carl Lawson pick at 30. Again, you can go in a lot of different directions here. I don't think it was a bad option of the edge guy that you want. You can even go with your second-round pick, Derek Rivers, who we'll get to in second at 30, and I wouldn't put up a fight at all. I'm a big fan of Derek Rivers, so I think it's going to be hard. I've said it before. I think it's going to be hard for Colbert to screw this one up because there's just so much talent there. But Lawson's my number one guy right now.
True or false? Lawson is it's obviously going to be true, a top 50 guy in your opinion in this draft.
Yes, true.
The question now becomes, is he a top 30, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big question. And the medical might make or break him in that regard.
And unfortunately, we're not, you know, unless something sneaks out, you know, from the combine in Indianapolis, we're not going to get privy to a lot of that information there. We are excited about seeing him go through the drop drills, though, right?
Of course, yeah, for all these guys, because most of these guys, and Colbert's talked about it, and it should be pretty intuitive at this point for fans. Most of these guys spend their college career going forward, not backward. There's only a couple guys in the draft this year that have a lot of time going backward. Tyus Bowser from Houston is one of the top guys in that regard. Lawson, I think, did a tiny bit, but not much. He's played with his hand up, but he doesn't have really a whole lot of experience dropping in the coverage. So Lawson, Rivers, Harris, McKinley, who I think is still working out, all those guys will be fun to watch.
What are your biggest question marks around a guy like Rivers? I mean, is it the small school status and once again maybe some issues against the run? What would prevent him from being picked in the top, let's say, 50 selections?
Realistically, for NFL draft totally, I don't know what the knocks are against him. I mean, yeah, you could say Youngstown State playing the FCS level, but, I mean, the guy went to the Senior Bowl, had a really strong week there, was probably the second best, or you could argue the best edge guy at Mobile, Alabama. So, you know, I think that's going to help, you know, calm down and temp down any small school concerns people have. Some people think he's not bendy enough. I think I saw a lot of a good deal of bend with him. I guess the biggest thing would just be competition. But I really had to rack my brain to try to find negatives with him. It's just like Javon Hargrave, where I kind of ended up sitting at my tape and reading my notes and sitting there going, I don't have a whole lot of bad on this guy outside of the obvious of where he went to school. So what knocks do you have on him, if any?
No, I think it's just, look, I mean, isn't he the one that put up the mock combine the other day that had the bench press?
I must have missed it, so I couldn't tell you.
I expect him to knock it out of the park as far as the combine goes. So, I mean, is this a guy that I'm going to be able to mock to the Steelers in the second round much longer? Probably not. I still, as we sit here in late February, Alex, I think I'll be surprised if he doesn't fall to the second round.
If he doesn't fall,
I mean, in other words, I don't expect him to go in the first round.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, if he did, you would think it'd be somebody like the, you know, if he did get drafted in the first round, you'd think it'd be somebody like the Steelers taking him, right?
It'd be, yeah, back end of the first round, early second. And to be fair right now, you know, a lot of outlets still have Rivers as like a third round pick. It's not every single person that has him as a first round guy. Most of the people, myself included, who think he can be a first round guy, believe that's going to come more along in the process after the combine, after the pro day, after some of the big guys, the GMs and the coaches, they get a better look at a small school guy that not everyone is going to know about on name value alone.
I think he did. I think he put up a video from his either place where he's training or what is Ignition AA? That's Ignition Athletics. That's where he's evidently training. Talking about Derek Rivers during the offseason, and he did put up a video the other day. 34 reps of 225.
Yeah, he's going to, I think, test really well. He's 255 pounds, so he's got the size. He's got some length. I think he's going to have a really nice combine.
What do you think Lawson's going to put up on the bench?
I don't know. That's 30, a good question.
You think he'd do 30?
Probably a little lower, maybe around 25 or something. But I'm like, what's his arm length? I don't even remember
length is. I don't remember his
arm length. It's not even measured yet, I don't think. So, you know, obviously bench and arm length are going to be, you know, kind of tethered together.
Right, right. Who did you have in the second round?
I went a little different direction. Yeah, again, I had Carl Lawson in the first. I went Jordan Lewis in the second, though, the cornerback from Michigan. I really think that 2018 he can take over for William Gay and be the slot starter, the nickel guy, which has become such an important position. It's a starter 70% of the time. Maybe he even takes over halfway through the 2017 season. But you're going to get a great special teamer, guy with really good ball skills, a guy who's played outside and inside. So if you want to move him outside, I mean, you certainly can, I think. And then someone who's going to come up and support the run, and that's always important in the slot.
What you did a great report on Corn Elder, who I have the Steelers taking in the fourth mm-hmm. round of my first mock. What is the difference between Jordan Lewis and Corn Elder that makes Lewis so attractive in the second round?
Biggest thing for me probably is man coverage ability. I think Elder's a really good zone corner, which of course is going to fit what Pittsburgh needs, but Lewis is better in man, and he's going to give you that, I think, versatility schematically more than what Elder is going to. And I think, you know, Lewis is, I think the production's been a little bit better. Let me see here what the actual production, 6 career interceptions for Lewis. I think Elder only has maybe 3 picks or something. I think Lewis can have a little better hands, better in man coverage. But it's close. I mean, you know, I think Elder's a poor man's Jordan Lewis. I think Elder, I compared him to being the next William Gay. So if you don't get Lewis in the second, if you decide to devalue cornerback a little bit and wait a couple rounds, I think Elder in the fourth is an excellent pick.
You think Lewis is one of those, you know, top 5-6 corners in this class?
I'd have to put a list together. The corner class is pretty strong. There's a lot of first-round talent, so I'd probably have Lewis closer to maybe – you know, 7 or 8. I'd have to sit down and really look at it, though. I mean, there's just a lot of talent in corner this year as well. But in terms of guys, you know, I don't look at it as just, okay, who's the top cornerbacks? Really, you got to stratify things into who can play outside, who can play slot. And in terms of slot cornerbacks, I think Lewis might be the best, and he could be, you know, second or third at the end of the day.
And that's why you considered Cameron Sutton maybe as another selection there. I've yet to watch an extensive amount of tape on Lewis. I've watched quite a bit of Sutton. I've watched quite a bit of Elder. Boy, Elder, he sure plays like a Steeler, doesn't he?
He does. I told you he's the next William Gay. I mean, he'll get run over sometimes because he is a small dude, but he's got good speed. You know, Gay ran a 4.48 at his pro day. We forget that because the dude's a million years old right now, but back in his young days, he ran fast. He's got really good high football IQ, great instincts in zone coverage. The guy played on special teams. He wore every hat imaginable. Yeah, he's a true Steeler.
Yeah, he's one that, I mean, he sticks out. The physicality of him and the long speed too. I think he's going to have a nice combine. Talking about it. And who knows? You know, maybe he gets himself into the talk where, boy, it would be a heck of a, you know, maybe a steal if they were able to get Corn Elder in the fourth round there. In the third round, I was looking for a bigger type wide receiver, one that, you know, maybe might slide into that third round. Of course, with the knocks on Martavis Bryant, Sammy Coates, and kind of where they're at right now in their careers. I put on some Isaiah Ford tape, and I said, okay, this could probably work. A bit of a body catcher at times, but he definitely high points the ball more than, say, a Mike Wallace did back when he was coming out of Ole Miss. Not knock your socks off, blazing speed. I'm interested to see if he's going to be able to answer maybe some of those concerns at the combine. A fairly decent route runner, but pretty much you go deep, Isaiah Ford. I mean, I counted 16 explosive play receptions for him last season. I think he's he had a very consistent career at Virginia Tech, and that's why I took him in the third round. Have you watched any of Ford?
I haven't, but my question to you is, and if you just had to guess, if you had to ballpark it, what do you think he's going to run? What is kind of his range?
Four nine.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, just under. You know, maybe 4.51. I mean, obviously, he needs to run that or better, right?
Right, that was going to be my next point is, you know, the Steelers seem to have, generally speaking, at least very much a model of kind of height, weight, speed, or at the very least just speed guys. You think about Sammy Coates, Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, you know, they want guys that have been able to run fast, or you would have a good excuse if you didn't run fast, like it's a Marcus Ayers who had that broken finger that kind of prevented him. So, you know, but they do want deep threats, they do value on big playmakers. I think that does make sense. My only concern for taking a receiver that high is just, you know, if Bryant, I know these are ifs, but, you know, if Bryant comes back and Coates is fine, I think Coates will be fine in terms of his hand, and then I think Bryant will be back, you know, Ford loses his role entirely, and now you really muddied up the receiver spot. Now you're not getting production out of Ford year one, and you're probably not getting production out of Derek Rivers year one either, and, you know, you're kind of relying on Carl Lawson to do his thing.
Yeah, those are all great arguments to go against my second and third round pick, absolutely, because you probably are going to have problems getting Ford on the field. Now, Rivers, assuming they somehow took two edges back to back. Obviously, you're. I mean, where you are right now. If you re-sign James Harrison, Your starting edges, at least to start the season, are going to be Dupree and James Harrison. The question becomes is how you would think that at least one of your top edge is going to get on the field at some point earlier rather than later as far as a rotational guy. Now, Carl Lawson, both these guys, Rivers and Lawson, could absolutely do that and probably on either side as well. So that's not the big burn. Now, if you draft two of them.
That's it, two. Where's the second guy fit in?
Right. Now, here's the thing. Arthur Motes, I mean, you could cut Arthur Motes if you drafted, you know, both these guys. Chickalo, to me, is just a reserve guy. I'm thinking more long-term in this, obviously, especially when it comes to Rip, because let's move past 2017. Who are your edge guys? I mean, Dupree, let's say whoever you draft in the first round or your first edge that you draft overall, what's behind that?
Right. No, I get the idea, and I'm all for double dipping. But if you do have Dupree and, let's say, a first-round pick from 2017 for your 2018 season, I mean, you're in a pretty good spot, because ideally the Steelers don't want to have a heavy rotation if they can avoid it. They've been doing it because they've had to. It's been staring them in the face. They haven't had the talent to be able to keep a guy out there for 90% of the snaps. So I think you're in a good place here for Dupree and Lawson. But, no, I agree. But, you know, my mindset, and it does not have to be your mindset or anyone else's mindset, but my mindset is to get guys now who can help you immediately to be able to, you know, get production on the field and get this team over the top. And I'm a little cautious if you get a second edge guy and then a receiver in the third that you might not have that. And you're kind of taking a little bit of the longer approach to success with this draft class, you know, 2018 and beyond.
Absolutely, and those are all great arguments of to go against my mock. I knew that going into it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to see what kind of pushback I would get from back-to-back edge rushers like that, and I kind of felt after taking two edges, when looking at where I project other players to go in positions of need, I said, man, really the best value at that point I consider to be Isaiah Ford. Now, thankfully, the Steelers draft is probably going to not look anything like mine or yours, for that matter.
Probably. Not, yeah.
Let's see. Did we hit your third round pick yet?
No, I'll touch on it briefly. Gerald Everett, the tight end from South Alabama, and I know that you're probably not a big fan of him. We were talking about this, I think, last time, Dave. But you know, if you just treat him like a big receiver and you don't focus on him being as an inline guy too much, and I wouldn't have mocked him to Pittsburgh had this team not signed Ladarius Green, because I look at Everett as kind of a mini Ladarius Green. But he's a guy that if Green can't play, Everett becomes that big receiver. And in a lot of ways, he'll function as that kind of guy, and he can get on the field right away. He's just a route runner, guy with good hands, bursts at the top of his break, has made a lot of big plays, and has a decent catch radius for him. So Jesse James is your inline guy, Everett's your receiver. It's a nice way to kind of break things up. I think you can get a year one impact at Everett.
I just, with him, and it's not that I dislike him. I try to get away. I try to look more of these guys now, what they can do right now, and not so much focus on what they can't do. But mm-hmm. to me, he's just an athlete right now, and that's all he is. He's definitely not going to give you anything as a blocker, in my opinion. He is just another big wide receiver. And
do you like him as a receiver, though? Is receiver, you know, traits and skill set,
look, he catches the football when it's thrown his way, right? I mean, 70 something percent catch rate is nothing to sneeze at, even though he has small hands. I kind of question the level of competition that he went against. He is a very raw, in my opinion, raw route runner. And keep in mind, I've only watched three of his games. That's all that's out there right now. I can dig further, but I think I've got a good sense of who he is already. To me, he's just an athletic guy right now. And yeah, you could probably if you were that concerned about Ladarius Green, yes, you could get him the type of snap amounts that you got Ladarius Green throughout the season. You know, when he did play. I mean, what did he play? 13 snaps here, 15 snaps here, kind of thing, and a couple games fewer than that. So I see where you're going with it. Yeah, I just wish he blocked more.
I know I do too, but that's why I don't worry about him as a blocker. I treat him as a big receiver. I focus on, like you said, where he wins and where he doesn't. He won't have to block with this system. You got Jesse James to do that. I mean, you know, if Green is out there, you can run some 13 personnel with Green, Everett, and James, and I think you're in a really good spot. Because the Steelers ran 13 last year out of empty. They tried to do a couple of different things with that. Now, when you're running it with Jesse James and David Johnson, it's a bad idea. But when you have, if you had hypothetically Green and Everett, assuming Green comes back, then you got a potent group. And if Green doesn't come back, if he's not available, then Everett is going to replace that Green role entirely. So I think it works both ways.
Here's the thing, though: if Green is fine, and you're not dressing Everett, Because he's not giving you anything on special teams.
Well, I mean, he's a big receiver. I don't know. Maybe you could run down some stuff. He's a really good athlete. But, no, I think maybe you potentially still could dress him. I don't know. He's a big receiver. You could treat him like that. You could take a receiver spot for all I know, you know?
Yeah, I can't see him. I can't see Danny Smith pounding the table to put him on the active game day roster. But, man, I definitely understand which way, why you went the way that you went with that pick there. Round three, tell everybody about Jordan Willis.
He's a guy that you're either going to love or you're going to hate. And you're going to love him for the production that he had and just the fact that in every situation he seems to come out on top, you know, whether that's a Senior Bowl, whether that's his entire career at Kansas State, or you're going to hate him because you think he's the next Jarvis Jones and that the production won't translate at the next level and that he's not a good enough athlete and that he doesn't have good enough bend. And both things are true. I couldn't argue either way with him. But, you know, I'm not even saying I love this pick, but I think he's a guy the Steelers will like. And if they haven't really learned their Jarvis Jones mistake too well, it's probably a guy that they will draft.
Why is it now, every time we talk, I saw this in my mock draft, people want to compare Carl Lawson to Jarvis Jones. What's the fascination right now? Because they're two totally different players, Lawson and Jarvis Jones. Now, I admit I haven't seen a lot of Jordan Willis, and I suspect you'll be breaking him down on the site fairly soon. What's different about Jordan Willis than say a Jarvis Jones?
Honestly, they're fairly similar. They are both highly productive players in college. I think Willis is maybe a little more varied as a pass rusher, has a pass rush plan, and he can counter and really reads, you know, tackles well. So maybe that's one difference. But you're going to see a lot of similarities to them. They're both guys that aren't really super bendy. I mean, it comes and goes with Willis. I can't get a good feel for it. And if you can't get a good feel, probably means he isn't that bendy. Who had a lot of production, he's not going to be a great athlete. But, I mean, he just got the job done. 39.5 career tackles for loss, 25.5 career sacks. Senior Bowl, he went there, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. I mean, just on every stage he's ever been on, the guy has produced. And at some point you stop saying, you know, oh, he's not going to be able to do it. And you just embrace the fact that he is doing it and keeps doing it at every step of his life. And he's going to be a high character guy, high IQ. Teams are going to love him for that. So I don't know. I think he's a guy that you might try to develop a little bit.
You know, going back to Jarvis Jones, you know, around that time, I was luckily able to find, I think, all of his college sacks, which way back a couple years ago, that was very, very tough to do with the you know, film on YouTube and around the internet. Thankfully, he went to a school like Georgia where a big fan base underground allows you to get a hold of some of that stuff. But it was just looking at his sacks alone from his college, it gave you a sense that this guy's stats don't match kind of what, you know, what we thought we might be getting. If I was able to find the 25.5 sacks of Jordan Willis, am I going to think the same thing?
There are some where I think Willis gets those sacks because of his motor and effort and just keeping with the play. But I think the one difference, and you make a good point of it, Dave, is that I don't think he was schemed as much as Jarvis Jones was. A lot of Jones' pressure and sacks came from being schemed, from being moved around Georgia's defense, some stunts and things of that nature. I think it was, and this is not quantifiable, this is just my own memory, I think it's less with Willis than it is Jarvis Jones. And I think that makes you feel a little bit more comfortable.
Maybe I'll tackle him coming up. I'm trying to chase down the Charles Harris sacks right now, and I think I've got about all but 2.5 of Charles Harris's sacks that I hope to maybe post later on today, if not by Tuesday. But hey, look, you get two edge guys there in the first 105 picks, so I think you and I both want something along those lines to happen. Right.
Yeah. Double dip it outside linebacker, and I really believe it will happen. I don't know with the rounds, but I believe it will happen.
With the compensatory pick for me, I had the Steelers taking Wayne Gallman, the running back out of Clemson. To me, kind of looking around at who might be the best of the rest, if you will, as far as running backs go, I think it's Gallman in that situation. I think he's a guy that can. even give you a few snaps of special teams you need. He's kind of a physical type player. Obviously needs some work in his pass protection, but I think he's one of the better maybe pass protecting running backs in this year's draft class. He can catch the football, obviously, at least 20 pass receptions during his college career in each and every year, and average over five yards per carry. So, with obviously the need for that position would lessen if the Steelers re-sign a guy like D'Angelo Williams, coming up here. But that's why I went that way. I went wide receiver. I went offense, both third-round picks. Wide receiver with Isaiah Ford, and then the compensatory pick, Wayne Gallman. We already talked about my fourth-round pick, Corn Elder, and your fourth-round pick, guy that you seem to be hooked on a little bit, Corey Clement, running back out of Wisconsin.
Right, yeah, I really like the Gallman pick as well. I think, Clement around later would make just as much sense. I've talked about him before, really good feet, a straight line guy, not going to dance too much, will hold his own and give effort as a pass protector. He's got good vision, his eyes and feet are connected. And he's a big guy, so he looks like they're bigger, the running backs, they're not the scat backs, but if you're an actual running back, they like him bigger. And Clement was 5'10 and 221, which is, about what the Steelers have done in the past with Bell and Mendenhall and Dwyer. So I'd be happy with Clement in the fourth.
Now, this is why you're ahead of me as far as getting into some of these back end of the draft players here, and I'm talking about your fifth round pick, a guy like Josh Reynolds. When I was trying to put mine together, I was trying to find somebody that I knew a little bit about, bigger receiver, maybe with a little bit of speed that I could put pick for the Steelers as a wide receiver later in the draft. I didn't have one, but it looks like you found a nice one here in Josh Reynolds out of Texas A&M. Tell me a little bit about Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, he's a guy that was down in the Senior Bowl that I really liked. Again, you think about height, weight, speed, and he might not be as fast as, let's say, Martavis Bryant, but I think if he can touch the high 4.4s, I'll be happy. He's got a really good catch radius, makes some unreal catches. He's spotty, he's inconsistent, he needs some development, probably needs a little bit of weight to his frame as well. But he's a guy that if he makes a team, great. If he makes the practice squad, that's fine too. You can stash him for a year. So 30 career touchdowns, 17 yards per catch the last 2 years. I think that's exactly what the Steelers look for.
Boy, and they do a good job of getting guys in the back end of the draft. And, you talk about earlier about why, tough times maybe trying to get a young wide receiver, first-year wide receiver on the field this year. Especially, and look, I mean, that's an obvious. I mean, if you get Martavis Bryant back this year, I mean, he's going to be your starter opposite Antonio Brown, and then they're not going to like it or not. It would be surprising if they threw Sammy Coates onto the scrap pile after what happened after the first 2 years here. So you want a guy that you could perhaps maybe bring along just in case, a guy that has some height, a little bit of weight and some speed to him. And I think of all your picks right now in this mock, going back through them, the best value, I think, looking at him and learning a little bit more about Josh Reynolds is this Josh Reynolds pick. So kudos to you. I really want to watch a little bit of tape on him. And believe it or not, I think my best overall selection in my mock draft, best value, might be my fifth round selection too. And that's Tedrick Thompson out of Colorado. And I think you know a little bit about Tedrick, right?
Not really, actually. I was interested to hear your thoughts on him, though.
And I've only watched one game of his, but I've read a lot of his stuff. I didn't get a chance time by the time I wrote all this up to watch more games of him. Look, he's a guy that plays free safety and safety. I think he has some balls or strong safety and free safety. He has experience playing both. I don't think he's a great guy to play in the box. I think you're wasting his ability if you don't play him deep as a deep center field guy. I think he has range, ball skills. I think he's going to have a great combine, and I think you're going to start hearing his name tossed around a little bit more after the combine takes place. And we know the Steelers could probably use a potential multifaceted, you know, a guy that can play both free safety, safety position, more, leaning more towards the line of being a potential replacement for Mike Mitchell. I think Tedrick Thompson can be that guy. And if he is on the round, you know, on the board still in the fifth round, I think there's a lot of value there. So he's probably my favorite pick in my entire mock.
Yeah, that all sounds really good and what the team is looking for. I mean, I still debate about how big of a need safety is, but again, the more hats you can wear, the better. And I can understand people who want to try to at least look towards a Mike Mitchell replacement at some point, because Mitchell's body might not hold up that much longer. You know, it's always kind of a waiting game with him. So that's a guy I'm interested to see more and definitely watch at Indy.
And look, you could potentially have a spot open for a guy like Tedrick Thompson on your roster. I mean, Shamarco probably not going to be back. How safe is a guy like Robert Golden right now, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's all fair.
So that's why I went safety you know, in the later rounds here. Let's see. Did we get to your fifth round? Yeah, we got to your fifth round. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit. You took a quarterback in round six. Tell everybody about Jerod Evans out of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, again, I don't love taking the idea of a quarterback, but I think the Steelers, you know, have interest, and it's kind of hard to gauge just because we've seen Kevin Colbert temp that down a little bit. But Evans, he's a big guy, 6'2", 238. He's older. He played 1 year at Virginia Tech. He was at a couple, like, military academies and stuff. But he's a big guy like Ben. He's able to run. Had, I think, over 800 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns this past year. But for a guy that was new to the team, probably new to the system, I didn't look at the coaching tree and all that, completed over 63% of his passes. So somebody you might be able to develop for a couple of years behind Ben and maybe become something. Again, I'm not a big proponent of the idea, but I think it makes sense in the sixth.
I like your seventh round pick too, a guy I know a little bit about just because I had to cut up some film recently for him from who broke him down for us? Andy Miley,
Andrew.
Right?
Yeah.
Isaac Rochelle out of Notre Dame. A fun prospect to watch. In fact, he was Tuitt's backup for a little bit, I think.
Was he?
I'm trying to think if he came, how many years after he came. But regardless, Rochelle is a guy that lacks probably the ideal height and weight. I think when he hits the NFL level, he's going to have to try to maybe put on a few more pounds. But you're definitely a guy I think you could probably poke in there and get. I think you even put it best, could beat out Ricardo Matthews. So instead of me continuing to sell what I know about him, why don't you tell everybody what you know about him?
No, you sold him well. I think you said it well. Yeah, he needs to add a little bit of weight. He came in at the Senior Bowl at 6'4 and a half, basically 282. But that's pretty good. He's got good length. I think 33.5 or so inch arms. So, you know, I think that's pretty solid all around. Not the best pass rusher in the world, but just going to be a high motor kind of run stuffer. And if the team doesn't sign Matthews, then I think Rochelle has a good chance to zip into that last defensive end spot. And even if so, you know, I think he can compete with Matthews and has a chance to beat him out. So I think either way, it's going to make that room better, more competitive, as a high, you know, kind of high intensity type player. And it's a seventh round pick. You can't go wrong with a guy like that.
Boy, you took a quarterback and a defensive end, defensive lineman in this draft, and I did not address either one of those positions. So I kind of think where our heads are at when it comes to those two positions. Personally, I hope they don't draft a quarterback and a defensive lineman. If they did draft either of those two positions, I hope, like you, they take him in the sixth and seventh round. My sixth round pick to kind of wrap mine up, George Kittle. Boy, if there's a back end,
it's your guy.
That's my guy. If there's a back end of the draft tight end that just oozes Steeler, it's him. My thinking with him is not worried about Ladarius Green, even though I am worried about Ladarius Green. I'm taking Colbert for his word, you know, that he's going to be there. My thought with George Kittle is he's a huge upgrade over a guy like David Johnson. And especially if you can get some sort of maybe fullback snaps out of, you know, George Kittle, something he did not do at Iowa, at least that I didn't see on film. Another thing that I did not see on film with Kittle was him on the move a lot, you know, with those split zones. But, I mean, there's no doubt with his athleticism and his blocking ability, I don't doubt that he can that he wouldn't be able to handle, you know, that kind of role there. So I think he's a guy that you can throw out there on special teams too, and be a contributor for you. So I really like George Kittle, and I think he's, you know, I think his tape's really going to endear itself to the Steelers, and that's why I have him in round six. And in round seven, boy, I struggle to find I just have not gone through enough of this clash yet to know the depth of the inside linebackers, you know, and guys who might, you know, be available. It wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers addressed the inside linebacker position at any given pick during this draft. It really wouldn't. But
even high, even if it was like a second round pick.
Well, you know, we talked about Reddick, you know, mm-hmm. if you can find that type of athleticism early on in the draft, you have to draft it, and then, you know, put him wherever you think you can play him. And I still think Reddick, you know, is kind of a guy that best fits maybe inside. But regardless, I think you can see this team try to draft an athletic inside linebacker at some point. Now is Hardy Nickerson Jr. that guy? he's you know, not. He looks, the best way to describe him on tape is clunky, if that makes sense. Have you seen much of his tape?
No, I haven't, but clunky is not a ringing endorsement.
Well, I mean, he's, I'll put it to you this way, he's more Vince Williams than he is Ryan Shazier.
Okay, fair enough.
By clunky is there's a lot of wasted steps at that second level. Mm-hmm. I see.
What's the good with him? What is he, run defender, downhill kind of guy?
Downhill run defender. I think recognition's there for him as well too. Not a type of guy that you want to flip the hips and run, I don't think. You know, down the center of the field. Everybody recognizes the name, I would hope. His dad, of course, is Hardy Nickerson Sr. The Steelers drafted him in the fifth round of the 1987 draft. He played in the NFL for several years. If you view a guy like Tyler Matakavich as a tackling machine, this would probably be a step down from that. Talking about Hardy Nickerson Jr., you know, 350 total tackles in his college career. Of course, he transferred from Cal to Illinois last year to be with his dad, who was the defensive coordinator there. I view Hardy Nickerson as a more athletic guy than Matakavich is, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Probably a little bit more athletic than Vince Williams, too, while we're at it. Hardy, I think seventh round to undrafted is what you're looking at with him. But once again, I was looking for guys that kind of fit that I knew a little bit about in the seventh round. You know, maybe by the time the next mock draft time runs around or rolls around, I'll have a little bit better, possibility when it comes to such a player. But I mean, I think you've even considered Hardy Nickerson Jr. before in one of your previous mocks, right?
Yeah, I threw him out there at the others considered spots. So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not opposed to the pick at all. It's good to hear more about him. Is he at Indy? Do you know? Did he get a combine invite?
I think he is. I think he's going. Okay. So, it'll be interesting. You know, his triangle number is going to be fun to look at.
And the shuttle drills I'm always interested in, that short area space.
Absolutely. So, interested in looking at those. If I had to do it, if we got into the had to do it over again, I probably wouldn't take. In fact, in my next mock, I'm probably not going to take back-to-back edge guys. I just wanted to see what I could put together. And people will ask, I don't use, and I don't know if you do. You like those mock simulators, Alex?
I do, but I don't use them for this exercise.
I'm not a big fan of those because and maybe I need to start using them more, you know, to maybe mm-hmm. get a more real. I'm more old school. This is the way we've mock draft for years.
uphill both ways, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe the next one I'll try to use one of the mock draft simulators and see what it spits out there. But once again, I if I had to do anything over again, I probably wouldn't go back to back edge mm-hmm. rushers, and I would agree that wide receiver is a little bit maybe early, premature in mind. Anything you'd probably do different in your next one?
I just wrestle with those 2 third-round picks, where exactly to go, you know, if you're going to double dip, you know, who you're going to take, and if you want to take a tight end, do you take a guy like Jake Butt and wait for a year and have him come back in 2018, or do you try to get someone that can help you more immediately? So those are the ones I went back and forth on the most, to be honest, just those third-round picks of, you know, how can I find guys that I believe can get play time right away, and, you know, just kind of sorting out need versus want versus play time and all that fun stuff.
Who are you going to try to break down for us soon?
Who's on my list? Trey White from LSU is going to be in the first round conversation. Maybe they're pick 30 for Pittsburgh, maybe a little bit higher. Trying to think who else is on my list. Maybe a couple more of these edge guys, going through a ton of them, but we're just trying to hit up all the outside linebackers as possible. And I assume for you, tight ends continue?
Yeah, I'm going to keep working on some of these. I've been so busy with tax stuff and getting these sack compilations together. I'll have Everett up sometime this week, and then another couple of tight ends, I think, after that. I really like looking at these tight ends, and we have so many people doing these draft profiles now that, you know, it's probably best to keep people focused on what they have the most comfort view, and I really like looking at tight ends, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. So hopefully you'll get to Jordan Willis as well too. I'd like to see something mm-hmm. on him, and I might see how many of those 25 and a half sacks I can chase down of his as well too. What do you think about Taco after seeing the breakdown in his sack compilations?
Yeah, again, I think he's right up there with anybody else. This edge class is so stupid talented this year that it's hard to make a case for a guy, because then somebody can just say, well, what about this guy? And you could say, yeah, that makes sense as well. So, you know, I would love maybe a Derek Barnett if he fell. I don't think he will, but if he did fall, that'd be entertaining. I mean, again, there's just so much talent. We haven't even really talked much about guys like Tim Williams, and not a lot about Charles Harris and Ryan Anderson, who I wouldn't really support but could be in play. I mean, there are literally probably 10 edge guys you can make cases for right now at that pick 30 range, or maybe second round if you include in those guys as well, and they're all right. So it really blows my mind how good this edge class is.
I think I had 100 and something comments already on my first mock draft, and it looks like your one that went up this morning already has 31 comments. At a quick look at the comments in yours, I think you won.
Well, you just had one that said horrible mock draft here. That was it. I loved your answer. Your answer was superb analysis and why you're such a great asset to the site. It's my favorite answer.
You know, and here's the thing on mock drafts. Mm-hmm. I hate doing them. and I've always hated doing them. I think I've made that clear several times on the podcast, because there's no way to win. You know, you don't win at doing this. However, when I do these, why can't people comment on the players that I've selected? You know, not just I hate this mock. Tell me what you like or you don't like about the players that I mocked. And don't even get into the rounds. I mean, Jesus, I know someone that I have going in the second round might still be on the board on the fourth, and vice versa. The worst comments you can put in these things, people, is, oh, that's not going to happen. He'll never slide there. I've heard all that. I've done this dating back to 2007, 2008. Okay, I get it. Comment on the player. Tell me why you like the player. Tell me why you don't like the player. Tell me about a player that maybe will go around the same line that you like. That to me is where the value of the mock drafts are, is learning about the players. Am I wrong?
No, that's how you get feedback, and that's how we have debate and argument, and that's how, you know, our opinions change and are formed and molded. So that's what I'm more interested in, is just about the player and the value, the positional need, and the ability to get them play time and all those things. I think they have inherently a ton more value than just, well, this guy might be here in the third. It's just, well, maybe not, but we're not really getting anywhere by talking about it, are we?
Right, and that's the biggest thing that I think people look. I mean, our mock drafts, the ones that we do, we're going to disagree with each other's even and readers, and that's part of the exercise. And I think that's where the value is in doing these things, is identifying players the Steelers are more likely to draft. And then learning more about those players as we go through the process. I mean, let's face it, if we can whittle this thing down to 120 players that we think the Steelers might draft, we're going to know a whole heck of a lot about 50 or 60 of those guys by the time the draft rolls around.
And we'll probably have reports on maybe about 100 of those potential guys. So whenever the draft comes around, hopefully we can just go, oh, here's the report we did back in early March on this guy, like we did with Artie Burns last year and so many of the others. And, we're hitting the ground running on talking about who these guys are.
Right. And try not to stay locked. I know it looks like right now, boy, Dave and Alex, they really love Carl Lawson. It's just who in my opinion, it's who I've seen the most of. It's who it's the most. It's who I've read the most about. And he checks a lot of boxes. So, I mean, am I going to stick with Carl Lawson throughout this process? Who knows? I think we're going to get a lot of answers about him during the combine and learn a little bit more about him as we go through this process, moving forward here. So, don't get caught up too terribly much in these mock drafts. I don't have a problem you going in there and telling me, Dave, this mock draft sucks. Just tell me why. Tell me about what you like, don't like about the players. And you don't do me any good by just throwing your mock draft up in the comments that you went and done on FanSpeak. I mean, without any narrative to it, So I, did I get up on my soapbox enough there?
I think you did. I think you're in the clouds right now.
Okay, on Friday, I have no clue what we're going to be talking about, but I have a feeling it's going to be related to Le'Veon Bell a little bit, and what Kevin Colbert said on Wednesday, and potentially some heights and some weights as well too. So Alex, I appreciate you sitting in for David Todd once again. Folks, you can follow him. You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to get to
Oh, we did do our oh.
Our boy Craig Oxane. So we're gonna do that right now. Hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out terrible podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow Alex Kozora at Alex_Kozora. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you love these mock drafts so much and you want to donate as a way to thank us for them, I'm sure there's several of you out there that are dying to do that. You can go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button in the top right navigational bar. No, in all seriousness, we appreciate all donations that we get and help support the site along the way as well. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.